Thank you very much, Gajan. That's lovely. Welcome. Isn't it wonderful to be here this morning? And lovely to walk into a nice, warm building. But you know, we don't need artificial heat to keep us warm. We've got, there used to be a song that I've got my love to keep me warm. But we have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that really keeps us warm in all weather and cares for us at all times. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for this day, Lord God, for this day that you have given us, Father, for we live to the full this day. And we thank you, Father, that we can live this day because of your presence, your spirit that dwells within us. And so, Father God, we thank you that as we've come around your table this morning and been reminded of the wonderful gift of life that you've given us through the death and resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have shared and offered our offerings, Lord, to those who need it so much and for the work of your kingdom in this area. Father, we thank you that already you have started to minister to our hearts. And we just thank you, Lord, as we come around your word now, that you would further not only encourage us, but lift our hearts, Lord, that we might come to a new dimension, Lord. For each day you're calling us to move higher and higher in you, to learn more and more. So we just hand this time to your spirit now, that your spirit might minister to each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I could start off like a lot of men do and ask you, are you happy today? Did your team win yesterday or Thursday or Friday or whenever? And many would say yes. And it's really good, isn't it? It's good to have sport. I love to hear my husband excited when his team wins. I don't always like it when he's sitting there telling them how to play, but which a lot of people do. Particularly, they often say someone who has done something is worse than someone who hasn't. And John used to play. He was a good footballer, absolutely very good. And if God hadn't had a hand in his life, he might have gone on to league. But praise God, that didn't happen. He may not say praise God, but I do. Because God had other plans for his life. But, you know, when you've played and you know all of the rules of the game and whatever, it's very easy to sit there and instruct all these people how they should play. But, you know, as I was thinking about all of this and God was speaking to my heart, and I was thinking about sport, and sport's good. It's not only football. There's running and swimming, and there's cricket and all of these different things that can happen. That so many people today, their lives depend on the hope of those things, don't they? We know that outside of these walls, out in the streets of Brimbank and surrounding communities, there are people who wake up on a Sunday and they're either really happy because their team's won or their children won at sport, or they're feeling really miserable. And each week, as you watch the news, you see at the on Friday evening, the announcers of the news usually start giving their tips for the sport, and it's like they're trying to guess about who's going to win and you know, who's not going to. And if they win, they're very happy. If they don't, they're pretty sad. But you see, we live in a world today where we've come in to a community, we've come into this building with a real hope in our heart, because we're not guessing. We have an assurity and a certainty, because as Elder Lewis shared in communion so well, that Jesus died, and we have that assurity that he is now with his Father in heaven, and he has prepared a place for us. And I just want to say that, you know, as Elder Lewis said about being judged and on our achievements and whatever, we need to understand that the Word of God speaks very specifically. As we grow and we learn to understand the Word, and what God is talking about is that God has a place prepared for each one of us, and we think, oh yeah, that's great, and we're all going to be there. No, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. And so there were many places. And so we need to be spurned on. We need to be encouraged today, not guessing and hoping and wishing, but to be doing our best, because God has already prepared a place for me, a place for you. And each place is ours, and I don't want to miss out on that. And I'm sure you don't either. We want to be in that place that God has prepared. And so we know heaven is a huge, we imagine, is a huge place, and we'll all be there. But in the spiritual realm, we each have a place. And so God deals with us individually, not just collectively. He's a personal God, and so he speaks and deals with each one of us individually. And so getting back to sport, someone goes to the football. We'll use football as an example because that's what's mainly followed in my home. And so it's about, when you see someone, did your team win? Did you go to the game? And did you get a good seat? It's all about the position, isn't it? It's all about whether you can see or whether you can't see. And we're all keen to get a good seat. If you go to a theatre, you go and see Kayleen and Heather went to see something the other evening, and Kayleen said it was lovely. But it's like, well, did you get a good seat? Could you see? And so we all want to get a good seat. We always want to book early. We want to make sure we get in and get a good seat. And so it's important about where we sit and what we see. But you see, again, the Lord has provided a place for us where we all have a good seat. None of us miss out. We don't have to clamour and scramble and push over one another or try to book early. I've already got my seat. I've already been assured of my seat. And that is wonderful. That's so confident to me and so assuring that I don't have to fight and struggle. I've got my seat, my place is booked, it's reserved for me, and you can't have it, I'm sorry. You have to find your own. And you see, we don't find it by booking or scrambling, we find it in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to bring you this little this story that speaks, I believe, a lot about what I want to talk about today. And a young boy, he was about 10 or 12, was sitting on a park bench with his Bible open, and he was reading his Bible, and all of a sudden he read something and he started to say, wow, wonderful, praise God. And as he was praising God, this young man came past who just left and completed a study in scientific understanding, and he was all full of his own importance. And he came past and he said to the young boy, what's going on? What are you so happy about? Did your team win on Saturday? And the young boy said, no, I'm just so excited. I've just read in the Bible that God did an absolutely awesome thing. God opened the sea of Galilee, parted the waves so that the children of Israel could walk across. And the young man suddenly thought, oh, this is my territory. So he sat down next to this boy and he said, well, you know, son, he said, you know, you might believe that, but I've just come from finishing a degree on studying these things. And he said, you know, they've found that at that time, the water in that sea was only 10 inches deep. And the young boy looked at him and looked down at his Bible. And the young man said, never mind, son, you'll learn, and got up and went to walk away. And just at that moment as he walked away, the boy looked back down and he went, yippee, yippee, God, you are wonderful, you are wonderful. And the man turned around and he said, what are you all excited about now? He said, well, I've just realised God is so great. He parted the sea for the Israelites to walk through, and then he drowned all of the Egyptians in 10 inches of water. Is that amazing? So it's like, what is your perspective? Pastor John spoke last week about being focused. And you see, it's what we see. It's our perspective. It's how we see things. And that young boy thrills my heart because he firstly was like taken aback with what was said, but then he thought about it and he thought, no, my God is able. You know, we all face things in our life. We all have trials and we all have challenges. I don't like to say struggles. I say they're challenges. Because in the things of God, there's no struggles. The only struggle is the struggle of when we decide whether we're going to leave this way of thinking of the world and step into the kingdom and the realms of believing in Jesus Christ. Once we do that, there are no more struggles. The struggles have been broken, as we heard this morning. The enemy is under our feet. We are free. And we've been made free not to do as we like, but we've been made free to enter into praise and worship unhindered and unrestricted. Amen? That's what our freedom is. Our freedom is that we can come before the throne of grace unhindered. We can come boldly before the throne. And so in that, We've been given the eyes to see that Jesus finished everything. When he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is finished for you." So there are no more struggles. The Bible says, cast your care upon him because he cares for you. So in the scripture, there is everything that we need. For every day of the year, it says, fear not, for I am with you. And so we no longer have struggles. If you struggle, then you're not really going to the Word. You're not really standing in the things of God. But yes, we have challenges. But as we have these challenges again, we look to the things of God and we find that they are overcome. We all have them. Sometimes we look at people and because they're always seeming as if they're rejoicing or happy like this young boy and finding the answers that they don't have struggles. Every one of us have challenges. Everyone, there are things that come into our lives that we don't understand. Over this last 2 weeks, there have been two big things in my life. And when they first happened, they didn't come right together, but only a couple of days apart. But when they come, we sort of suddenly stop, and naturally what happens is this flesh reacts and this mind starts to go into action and we start to look at things and think, oh, what's that? Or even we can have an anxious thought. But you see, the difference is if we're living and growing and walking in the things of God, very quickly the Spirit of God comes in and he brings that assurance to us to just rest in the Lord, to really look again and, like that young boy, look at the promises of God. Think about what God has spoken to you. Think about where God's taking you, because it's not what man says that's important. And yet so often we rely upon what man says. It's like, you know, when you're younger and you young ones go to school and, you know, the teacher says, oh, well, look, you're only a C student. You're not doing that wonderfully well. And so you might be happy that you've received a C, but because of the way it's put to you, you then go through your adult life thinking, I'm just a C student. And rather than breaking out of that and thinking, no, I'll be all God called me to be. I might be a C in that subject, but maybe that's not what God's called me to do, but I'll be an A in this. Because if we find the place that God's called us to be, we will thrive and we will move in that. Not as the world wants to give us accolades, but we will find that we succeed in that area, whatever it is, whatever it is. All I ever wanted to be was a mother. When I was growing up, I just wanted to be a mother. I just wanted to be able to have children that I could love with all this love that was stirred up inside of me and give it to them and be different to what I'd been treated. Now, God had lots more for me than just being a mother. And in those days when I was a child, I didn't think about marriage or some man being a part of that. I was just going to be a mother. And I had to learn that there's more to that being a mother, and it's about being connected with somebody and all of those things. But we all have different dreams and desires, and then as we come, praise God, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he taught me the balance of all of those things. But we don't live to what man puts on us. Like the young boy, we see what God has done and see the answer in him. But it's whether we look from God's perspective or we look from our own. Because if we look from our own, as I said with me, the challenges, and we start to look with our natural mind and we can't see a way out of it because it seems like hopeless, or this is what's been said, this is what there, it's in black and white, one of them in front of you. And then the other thing is, it's like, this is what I see with my eyes. But the Spirit of God says, trust in me. Because no matter what happens, no matter what happens, God is still God on his throne. And he knows the power and purpose. And then, like Abraham, God called me to bring back the word of God. Didn't I say this to you, Pat? Didn't I say this in this situation? Haven't I called this to be for an eternity? Haven't I done this? And then it's like this rejoicing comes in our heart that we know that we're not owned by what man says, but we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read to you this morning, and I am so thankful for the opportunity and the privilege that God would give that I could stand and share with you some of the scriptures and the preciousness of the Word of God that has been very, very vital in my life. And I love this word. I love it. It is food to me. I love it. It's a director. It's a guide. It's everything, the word of God. And to have the privilege of having that word, of having that word hidden in our heart, and then to be able to share that word is a special thing. And there's many scriptures that are special, but I love Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. It speaks so much about life. And there's a fair bit I want to read out today, but then I'll come down to one part, but it's important we get it. And so I'll start with Ephesians chapter 1 from 15 to 23. And I want you to just really listen. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom, of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us, towards me, towards you who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of in heavenly places, far above all rulers, authorities and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only of this age but also the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to be the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Who fills all in all. And then Ephesians 2, 4 to 10. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. What a wonderful grace. What a wonderful love. What a giving love. What a giving grace. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kingdom to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's, well, it says in some verses, handiwork, but I love workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Is that awesome? And you know, I've just read that now, but that has been a study of my life, to really, as with other scriptures, but to really absorb. And I'm still learning, I'm still growing as I read that scripture, as God imparts to me by his Spirit other dimensions of what that says. It's like I just grow up on the inside and just feel so full of his love and his grace, but have that confidence in him. You know, today we talk a lot about age and as I said, struggles and things. And I think back to when I was younger and when I was first saved, I was so excited and so full on, but I had no wisdom. There was no wisdom. I just wanted to go out and a bit like, you know, some people are, I just felt that if I did that, God was going to do that. And also we can have prayers that are very much bartering with God. If I do this, God, will you do this? And all this sort of thing. But it's as we grow older, our body grows, yes, changes, and the bones ache and things like that. And as you see, my husband helped me get up, held my hand as I got up the stairs and things like that. And I don't see that as a negative. I think that's beautiful, because I love that he does that. And I think it's beautiful that we are there to be for one another, whatever form that we need. But you see, on the inside, there's a joy and a life that wasn't there when I was younger. That has grown. I want to say, and it's not just about the message, but people, don't be afraid of age. I saw on Facebook the other day that our wonderful friend, and he's a pastor up at Redcliffe's, Pastor Rowley Tankart, he just had a birthday. And I won't say what it was, but I was so thrilled because they put all the candles on the cake. And I wrote to him and I said, Rolly, you know, he's saying, how is he going to blow these candles out? And I wrote on and I said, Rolly, don't be afraid of the candles. Be thankful for every one of those candles because it shows a great blaze of your life. And you know, when we're young, we have a couple of few candles. When we're 21, we think we've made it. We're suddenly the great age, 21, we've got 21 candles. And then after that, we don't want 21 candles. We might just want the number because all of these can. But don't be like that. Just think of the blaze. You know, I want to be a blaze of God's glory. And the warmth of that, the expression just of those candles of what your life is meant and what your life means today. Age is a wonderful thing. It's part of God's plan. It's part of God's plan. But you see, age and white hair is nothing unless we have the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God to fill us. You know, I remember, and I've said it before, Pastor Mike Gretschko used to say he loved it said in the Bible about the wisdom and the wonder of the hoary head, which is the grey hair. And he used to say, oh, you know, I can't wait till I go grey. And I said, well, it's not just the grey hair, it's what is being grown inside, it's what we put inside that is important, and the wisdom of God has to go with it, because there's a lot of grey-headed people, but they're not wise. And so it's the wisdom of God. But as we go back to this scripture, and you see this scripture is telling us that in God it's not age, it's not anything like that. It's not about what our body's like, it's about what our spirit's like, it's about what is imparted, it's the wisdom that God gives us. And over the years we learn so much, and anything that we learn is nothing unless it is moved by the Spirit of God. And so we see here that Paul's saying that he's heard of our faith and our love, and so he never ceases to give thanks. And in another scripture it says he bows his knee before the Father and he prays. He prays for us. And you know, prayer is a wonderful thing. I pray for you. And there are people that God really lays on our heart, and we pray for them. The other night at about 11:15, I think it was, John and I were in the study, and God really suddenly, as I was looking at my message, it was Wednesday night, and God really laid a burden on my heart. And when it first came, I thought, oh, and then God said, no, this is strong. And so I said to John, we really need to pray. And so we joined together and really prayed for that situation. But different times during the day, God lays different ones on my heart, and I will pray for you. And we need to be found faithful in prayer and praying for one another. And then he says, what does he pray? And I love this, that we'll have the eyes of our hearts may enlighten, that we might know what is the hope for which you've been called. Do you know that hope? Do you know that hope? If I said to you today, where is your hope? Where is your hope? It's in one thing, it's in Jesus Christ, but in his resurrected power, that's our hope. That's our hope. And that we might know the riches of this glorious inheritance that is mine now. This inheritance that is ours now. We do not have to wait. For earthly inheritance, we wait. And we have to wait and see how it's all worked out. But this inheritance is mine now. And it's also what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us. This power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Are you aware of that? Not just now because we're together, but are you aware of that tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday when these challenges come? When something comes that you least expect. And you know, the greatest challenges are the things we don't expect. One of the things I faced was absolutely, totally right out of my realm of understanding. There was no reason, there was no evidence, but suddenly this came. And so we can centre on that, or we can look beyond that and see God. And regardless of whatever happens, know that God is in control. God already knows about that thing. God already knows the challenge you face, and he has the answer. So while we struggle and run around getting ourselves emotionally in a turmoil, God is saying, I'm here, I'm waiting for you, just come to me and let me show you where it's at. And to see he's put all things under my feet, because they're under Jesus Christ's feet and made him the head. And so this morning, I want us to remind us that when we were born again, we were made alive spiritually. And you see, as I said, we feed the physical man. We look after the physical man or woman. We care for it. But how much do we look after the spiritual? And that is the ultimate. It is the Spirit of God. This flesh will fade and die. That will happen to each one of us. But our spirit remains, and it's our spirit we need to be growing and caring for and feeding and moving in the spirit realm, because that is where God calls us to worship him in spirit and in truth, not in flesh, not in flesh. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and what came after that shows the greatness of God's power, and that's where we should be living. The one thing I want you to remember, there are the two things. One, the first thing I want you to remember this morning is resurrected power now. Resurrected power now. Not in the future, not when we go to heaven, because we are now living in that resurrected power, and that will take us to that appointed place that God has for us. And the scripture that I want to bring out of all of that scripture I read this morning is the one in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 6. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places, or in heavenly realms. Are you sitting in that heavenly realm today? If I was to ask you, not where you sat at the football or at the concert, but where are you seated today? Do you have a good seat? Are you able to see and understand all that's happening? Where are you seated today? Not physically, you're all sitting on your bottoms on chairs. I'm talking about where are you seated spiritually? Because that is the big question. That is what it's all about. As we come into the fullness of being seated with Christ, then our views change. Everything changes. As we had worship this morning, Kayleen spoke about the atmosphere changing. And you see, some people think, oh, that's nonsense, but it's not. If you get into the spirit, if you worship in spirit and in truth, the atmosphere will change. Why? Because the heavenlies will come to meet you. The Spirit of God will dwell amongst us. You see, God is not a fool. God seeks every heart, and he knows those who are just mouthing it out or just saying it. It's like when someone says something to you, you know whether they mean it. Some people look and they say, hello, how are you? And you think it's just a word. But others look at you and say, hello, how are you? It's a concern. Or, I love you. Love ya. No, that doesn't cut. I love you. I love you. I love you. And so God knows whether we're just singing or whether we're hyped up in our physical because everything's gone well through the week and we're all happy. The greatest thing is when things have been a struggle through the week and we're able to lift our hands and praise God and sing with our spirits that we love him, that we're entering into his courts with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And God says he calls for that every day. Not just the days you feel good, but every day. But it depends on whether you know that you are seated, that you are seated. He raised us up from the dead along with Christ, and he seated with him in the heavenly realms, all because we are one in Christ Jesus. Amen? If you're one with him today, you are one with him in that seat. We are carriers of his glory. And you know, the word of God says in John 14, 19 and 20, in just a little while the world will not see me again, Jesus said, but you will, for I will live again and you will too. When I'm raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. No matter what happens, no matter what your day brings, no matter if you burn the dinner, no matter if the washing machine floods over, no matter if you kick the cat, no matter whatever, we need to understand, you wouldn't kick your cat, Chloe, but we need to understand that God is in us by the power of his Spirit all the time, not 99.9, 100%. And that's what he wants us to know. You know, how do you view the world today? We see the world, and if we look at it in the natural, we can see it's in chaos. And I just again want to say that we really need to be praying for our government, because there are a lot of pressures that are on, not only within Australia, but from outside of Australia. And so regardless of what side you're on, you need to be praying, because right throughout the government there are Christians and they are standing to do what is right. And we need to be really praying, and praying God's will be done on this earth, in this day, in this day. And so as we pray those things, we need to understand that God hears those cries. And it says in Hebrews 4:16, so let us come boldly before the throne of grace of our gracious God, and there it will be, we will receive his mercy, and we'll find grace to help us when we need it. So we need to come boldly at any time. I read somewhere the other day, someone put up on Facebook about praying all the time, praying when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, praying when you're sitting, when you're standing, praying when you're working, when you're not working. In other words, praying at all times. And the best way, the Bible says, is to pray in the Spirit. Paul says to pray in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit, to never cease praising. Our heart, our life needs to be one of praise and worship and prayer and seeking God's will. And so when we think about our world today and we think about the difficulties that are in the world, it depends on where we feel the confidence, where we're seated as to how we see the world. You know, sadly, there are so many Christians today that see things in gloom and doom. They're sitting in the dust and in the rubble and in the misery because they're looking with their eyes. They're hearing with their ears. They're allowing this flesh to get involved. The only way that we will see the world, not only see the need, and you see, we're not to be afraid, we're not to hide, we have to see things as they really are. We have to say, faith is not saying, when I saw this thing, oh no, that's wrong. No, seeing that, but my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to his power at work within me. And so therefore, how am I going to view this? If I view it through the eyes of religiosity, if I view it through the eyes of the flesh, things will seem doom and gloom. But if we view things through being seated in Christ, which is the only way that we can see this world and help it, is to be seated in the heavenly realms, to see things from the perspective that God's put us in. And yes, spiritually, God's lifted us that we can see it, but then he says, go down into it with the power of my Spirit and let me show you how to overcome it. And so that's the secret, that we need to see things as heaven invades earth, as it does through Christ, then there's a transformation. Like as Kayleen said through the Spirit this morning, when we come into that spiritual realm, heaven invades. The atmosphere is changed. Do you want the atmosphere changed in your life? Of course we do. Because it's when the atmosphere is changed, we see change in situations. We see things come alive and things come. And Jesus said, these things shall you do, and greater than these, because I go to the Father. When we think about the story of Lazarus in John 11, in verse 40, Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He was not in a hurry to go to Lazarus because he was seated in that place and could see all things. And we get so caught up sometimes that we have to get in and be Mr. or Mrs. Fix-It. And we have to do it where God's saying, just stand back and wait, take a breath and allow me to take you to the place where you can see things from my perspective. Is that awesome that a God who created the universe would allow us to see things from his perspective? Because that nearly blows me away. That God would dare to show me his glory. That God would dare to show me what he's doing. Now, God doesn't show me everything and he doesn't show any of us. But for our situation, if we get into that place, God will show us. And sometimes he'll say, wait. But in that wait, we're still sitting in that place of security, that place of hope, that place of rest, so we can just rest in him and wait. I still don't know the full outcome of these challenges in the flesh, but I know them in the spirit. I know what God has said. I know that God's word doesn't fail. And if I hold on to those promises that God has said, God will bring it to pass. Isaiah 48:3 says, I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them and they came to pass. And so Isaiah was a great man of God. And he spoke things because he spoke them in God and he saw them come to pass. By faith we need to see ourselves in heavenly places, seated with Christ in an overcoming place, a place that has been prepared for us now, so that we will see, we will hear, we will speak with a different way than in the natural. It is by the Spirit that's what happens. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. If we're into the religiosity, then we're always going to have struggles and we're never going to feel that we're an overcomer. We need to speak out the word of God as we stand in that heavenly place, and we need to release the glory of God from our position with Christ. You know, faith is the assurance of things we hope for and the knowing that something is real even when we don't see it. And we quote that scripture, but do we live that scripture? That's the challenge today. Do we live? And today, as I said, I want you to remember the resurrected power now and think about where you are seated. Where you are seated. Now, the scripture says if you're saved, you are seated in heavenly places. There's no doubt about that, but do you know that? Do you live like that? Do you act like that? When something happens, where's your vantage point? Where is your position? Where it is that you stand? Do you know that you're in that heavenly place? We can only understand what's happening around us by faith as we enter the realm of glory. We can only understand the earthly realm if we view it from a higher realm. We'll never understand if we get down into this, the things of this world and the politics and the things that are happening, if we try to understand it with this mind, because this mind is enmity with the Spirit. Now, God has given us a mind and it's good for many things, but when it comes to faith, it's no good, because the things of our mind will always argue against the things of God. The mind of reason will always come in and try to find a reasonable, like that young man with the boy, bring some reasonable explanation that something has been taught. But the things of God are learned. They are learned by the Spirit. We need to see things through his eyes. The natural realm is given to the sons of men, but we are God's sons and daughters. And so as his sons and daughters, we need to dwell in the spiritual. Every move of God releases a revelation. Why? Because heaven invades the mindset of the people of God and they see things from the position of glory where we're called to be seated. Our thinking, our views, our attitudes need to change. Why does revival tarry? Why is it that we are praying for things to change in our community, in our church? Because so many of us are not in our seated place. We are not claiming that place. We are not moving in spiritual power. Many are not doing anything. And those that are trying to do things in their own strength. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We are called to live in another realm. When I first started to speak the things of God to women's meetings, and then the first time I got up to speak, I was just absolutely a mess, very, very nervous. But God said to me, Don't speak out of what you know. Don't speak out of your understanding. Don't think of trying to please your audience. Speak what I give you to speak. Stand in my authority. Stand knowing that you are seated in this place and allow my spirit to speak through you. What a difference. What a difference. You know, I'm prepared to stand up here and for you to be looking funny looks at me and throwing tomatoes or whatever you want to do, but it won't change what I know that I have to say. If something gets birthed within our spirit, then the Spirit of God is the one who is responsible, not me. I'm responsible to deliver what God speaks to me. God is the one that then takes that and ministers it to hearts. And then it's up to you whether you open your heart to receive it. But it's not about me, it's about God. You know, and it's lovely after a message and people come and say, that was a great word, that was a great word. Of course it's a great word, it's God's word. But did it resonate? Did it sink in? Was it just nice to hear, or has it brought a change in your life? Has it brought a new dimension? Because that's what Pastor Chris, Pastor John, all of us stand up here week after week to bring change, not only to yours, but in studying, we find that change. God brings that revelation and then we want to impart it because we want to see your lives made easier because it wasn't meant. Jesus said, take upon me my yoke. Be yoked with me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you're yoked with Jesus, it's easy because he's carried the burden. He died for it. Don't live in it. Don't keep trying to recreate what God has already done for you. Take hold of it today. Live in that resurrected power. Live in that power that said there is nothing but nothing that can separate me from this love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. For Jesus Christ himself bore my sin on the cross. He bore everything. As we take the bread, I think about the broken body of Jesus and how that brings health and healing to my body. When we drink the blood, we think about the forgiveness of sin, that we have been free. Don't live in bondage again. Live in freedom. No. Every breakthrough in science, every literary breakthrough, every social breakthrough, every spiritual breakthrough comes from a heavenly perspective. And the challenges always come from the religious people, from those that see things through the eyes of religion. Martin Luther saw a release in justification. The Anabaptist released baptism by immersion. Wesley saw a move of holiness in the streets. The Welsh Revival and the Azusa Street saw baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Healing Revival saw the miracles of God released. The Charismatic Move saw grace and acceptance released and a new wave of glory bring with it a fresh manna from heaven. And what did those things receive? Opposition. Where did the opposition come from? Religion. From religious man. For those who stood in the puffed up like the Pharisees of their own importance, or those that are being led along by one man who says this and everybody believes them, rather than being by the Spirit of God. Do you know when the charismatic move came, it was terrible. Many of you may remember. It was awful. Brother stood against brother. Father against son. Son against father. Churches were split. Why? Some said, oh, it's because they're afraid they haven't got what we've got. No, it's because they started to see things through the eyes of reason. And the mind started to get into play. And because they hadn't yet come to this place of having the eyes of their understanding opened, they couldn't see it, so they opposed it. When God wants to do something, don't oppose it. See it from the realm of being seated in that heavenly place. See it from that spiritual place. God is doing something fresh today. Every day, God is doing something fresh. But are we seeing it? Are we allowing it to permeate our being? Are you allowing the Spirit of God now to minister not my words but his? Are you allowing his word to really seek and go deep into those things that are challenging you, those things that you are struggling with, those things that you don't have the answer for? And you see, you can struggle all you like, but you'll never find the answer in yourself. The only answer is in him. And in here is the answer to everything. He is all that I need. Jesus is all that I need. If you desire transformation in your life, If you all, like me, desire transformation in your ministry and in this church, then we need to live by the glory that God has given us and the reality, making the word of God real to you. So since we are resurrected with Christ and seated with him in heavenly places, the truth is that now we have born again spirits. Our spirits are alive in him. And I'll close with this wonderful scripture again, Ephesians 2:6, for he has raised us up. And I want you to say in your heart, he has raised me up from the dead along with Christ. And I am seated with him in heavenly realms, all because I am one with Christ Jesus. And that's my prayer today, that you will live in the resurrected power today, that you will be seated in that place. And remember, this scripture indicates that it's something that God has already accomplished, not something that's going to happen. If you read those scriptures yourself, if you go through Ephesians, you will see very clearly the wonderful things. So it's my prayer today that God the Spirit would open the eyes of your understanding, that you might comprehend what is the breadth, the depth, the measure of this great love that was broken to buy us and bring us into that seated realms, those heavenly realms with Christ, that you may view your life through his eyes. The Bible says that we are to have the mind of Christ, that we are to grow to have the mind of Christ, that we might see things from his perspective. Because without that, we are no good to anybody. We cannot help. And I so want to be in that place for the things that I face. I so want to be able to bring, not to get caught up in that emotion, which is so easy to take sides or to be able to give my opinion, but to be able to bring the grace, the healing word of confidence and purpose into that situation. So, Father, I thank you and praise you for your grace, for your love, but above all for your life, the life that you so readily laid down that we could be here today, even, Lord, to hear this word. So, Father, I just pray that your Spirit might minister now into the hearts of each one, young and old, Lord, to be able to see the power of your word, to know that we live in that resurrected power, that we each one is seated in that heavenly place, and that, Lord, age has no control over us, circumstances have no control. It is not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, by your Spirit alive within each one of us, that will bring all that we need. And we just glorify you, Lord. We thank you and praise you from the depths of our heart for this love, this Jesus, this hope, this joy, this wonderful joy that you place within our hearts as we love you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.